The writing school, of course, we used to have a lot of problem with the weather, so I decided to try and build an indoor writing school, which I eventually did. And so that meant that rain, hail or snow, the instructors had work that would they could continue with, and they wouldn't be out of pocket if it rained, and people could still write in any weather. So that was great. But I'd since sold that, and the saddlery shop we've built still functions, and it does the horse tracking.
Mm-hmm.
And we have rides that go for 1 hour through a bush ride if people wish, some native bush and so on, or a 2 hour ride which can go out into the high country, depending on the weather, where the rides go to. And if someone wants to go further, we'd have a 3 hour ride where we used to take the other people, because the land now goes right out to the coast. My son Ward runs the farming side of it, my oldest son, and the younger boys, two younger sons, they help out. A daughter who's a painter now living over the Wairarapa, so that's how it's all gone.
Mm. And back in the early days, how many horses did you start out with?
We began with perhaps a dozen or so, but after I bought Tony Ken out, I would travel to Gisborne. I'd been going up there for 43 years to buy horses, because whenever we broke horses in here, they needed to be used for a year on a station. Well, the most of the stations here had motorbikes, and so that there wasn't such a... They had one or two horses, but...
And this was just so that the horse could build up experience on travelling on
it would break
rough country
in,
and hill country. Yeah,
yeah, we'd break it in here, and then they'd take it on the farm and do a lambing beat with it. And a friend called Ron Dow used to take them for me, and if ever I broke them, he'd take them and give them a year's work. He did that for two or three horses, but then was trouble finding other people. Alan Hobbs, another friend, he could help out a bit as well, but it was better, far cheaper in the long run to go all the way to Gisborne to buy these horses. And we started off sending them down by train, and then once the rowers lost their monopoly, we used trucks. So we'd bring down, there'd be two sales a year, one in the autumn at Matafiro in Gisborne, and one in the spring. And we'd bring back 29, 30 horses from each sale, and then there'll be other places. One year we'd actually brought in 100 horses or just over, and we'd sell quite a few horses off as well to people who wanted to have pleasure hacks. And there was, by the time we got the riding school, indoor school going, and the trekking, we'd have something like 120, 130 horses. And we've still got pretty much that number, excepting we've taken on a lot more private grazers who have their own horses. So we've went now down to about 40 horses of our own, and the rest are privately owned horses that we graze on the property. And the saddlery shop, been run by Jen for 20 years. She wasn't there today, neither has a day off. But she's always been a bit of a mother hen to the teenagers that come out riding, keeps an eye on them, and it's mostly girls now that are riding, very few boys, with their own horses. So it's the parents, I think, are quite happy, in as much as they're buying a bit of time for their daughters, keep them away from the boys for a while longer, so they get a bit of responsibility having to look after a horse, and they get the competitive side of it where they go to shows and what have you. So they're not wandering around with nothing to do. They kept pretty busy. There's been a lot of people have come out over the years who have carried on and gone riding and done pretty well for themselves. So it's just an introduction that they've started with here, and then they take off and do their own thing. Mm. And so establishments like that are quite good, or like this rather, are quite good from that point of view. as long as they run properly. We had, when we first arrived here, one of the farmers said, no one's going to come out here riding horses, you're too far out. And we were a bit worried, so we bought a van and put seats in it. Had it sign written, and we said we'll pick up people from the railway station.
Mm-hmm.
But people started to come out with their own cars, and we didn't really have a use for the van. So it's amazing how, it's just at that time when everyone sort of was able to get hold of a vehicle, Japanese imports and all that sort of thing changed an awful lot, even more. So there were in the Ohio Valley in those days, there were probably 6 or 8, maybe 10 horses on farms, and today there's probably in the whole valley 350-400 horses. So it's quite an equestrian centre now.
Was the farming always your primary interest?
The horses, which really are a way of life. There's not a huge amount of money in horses, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But the farming, it all helps to supplement. We have to do, to keep going here, we have to have we've got the horse trekking, and with Wellington's weather, it can be only a one day or a no day a week business until we get a fine weekend, because it's mostly in the weekends. So we have a saddlery shop which helps to supplement that. We have a grain store, we sell horse feed and what have you, but that also helps. We manufacture horse care products that we send to distributors around the country who's on sale to saddlery shops. We have the grazers, horses for adjustment, and then we have the farm, which also helps to back up the income. And the farm's ideal because with horses only, you get a lot of ragweed and stuff like that, and weeds get away, and whereas the sheep, who've got a bit of goat in their inheritance somewhere along the line, keep a lot of those weeds down, dock leaf and ragwort and so on. And the horses will eat where the cattle have done their droppings and vice versa, but they won't touch each other's grass. So that's great. It keeps the paddocks nice and clean and what have you. That's about it from our side of it. But there's a lot of the original farming families that were out here when we came. It was a marvellous place because there were very few small block holders or anything like that. Not that there's anything wrong with the small block holders, but a lot of those people get a 10-acre block for their girl to ride a horse, and then the girl gets a bit older and decides she loses interest, does something else, goes to varsity or whatever, and so the horse is sold and the parents are looking at 10 acres to take care of and decide that, oh, they'll move on. So there's a lot of properties down the valley here have changed hands like musical chairs. Maybe one block has changed hands 6-7 times over a 20-30 year period. That'd be quite common. But in the earlier days when the main family, farming families were here, there used to be a party in the local hall, and that was marvellous. Everyone would catch up, and even with a general farming, if somebody wanted to have a hay mower brought in, whoever had the hay mower would bring it in, cut the hay, and someone else would, the truck cut the hay away, and everybody helped out. Well, that still happens with the younger farmers today. The main farms are now taken over by, when we came, it's the grandsons now who are running it, and they get on pretty well by and large, and they all help each other out, and it goes well.
Has this resulted in a reduction in the number of viable farms in the valley?
Yes and no. That some of them have expanded, become larger. Some have become smaller. Mostly, it's been the smaller dairy farms that has been sold off. Most of those have gone into lifestyle blocks. Ourselves, we purchased part of a dairy farm that was alongside of us, so that's added on to what the property we have here. But there's a very strong rural community still with the guys that are here. Who are farming, they believe in farming, and it's their way of life. And what they find most suitable from their point of view is that instead of farming out at Waikikamukau and driving 3 hours to get into a big smoke or 4 hours, they can pop over the hill in 20 minutes and be in the centre of the city, go to a show, have a meal or whatever, come back again, and they're out in the wilderness again, just as quick as that. So that in itself is probably the major attraction that keeps them hanging on.
Mm. Its proximity is remarkable, really.
It certainly is. Yeah. Especially for those who have children, because they can get the best of both worlds. And I know with my own children, they've always enjoyed going over the farm and chasing rabbits and what have you, and helping out with all the farm work that's got to be done. Crutching, docking, and so on, and it's a great lifestyle. They appreciate things more, I think, once they've had a taste of the practical side of life. Yeah, it's a good way to live.
Yeah.